John Hanson in for Bob Surratt till 9. Stan, the caller, has upset all the math teachers that are listening here this morning, standing up for math. I will stand with the math teachers, even though it wasn't my strongest suit. It's important to learn how to problem solve and to inspire you into a field of engineering, perhaps. Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist, joining us now. Scott, I guess people could use Snapchat to cheat. I wouldn't be surprised if these kids are using social media to do so.
And I'm trying to imagine what it would have been like if I had social media back in my day. John, you'd be happy to know I was the person who stayed after school every day for help in math. I was the opposite of the cheater.
Oh, you were the extra help needed person. I was
the
right there with you.
Every single day. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. But you're right. I mean, Snapchat or any of the other social media platforms, I mean, who knows what would have been possible. And I don't think people are necessarily doing that today, but it's a scary thought.
It is. And again, there's been a lot of conversation. George, I don't think we're going to have time to get you on the line, but you asked, what are my overall thoughts on cheating? I was flippant earlier about it, but I think I've turned. I didn't think it's the idea of you shouldn't promote it as an okay thing. I think that a kid that does it once should be punished, but, you know, relatively speaking, and learn a lesson from it. But we certainly shouldn't just think it's okay, because, yes, it can develop into behaviors that last a lifetime. Scott, let's pivot to cookies. And normally when we talk about cookies with you, we're talking about something that we have to clear on our browsers or history. But Instagram helping us find, no, really, what cookies we like.
This is the craziest thing, John. It's one of those maps of the U.S. that you see, you know, and there's like a different thing in each state. And in this case, you know, there's gingerbread cookies all over from coast to coast, and shortbread cookies, and oatmeal cookies. And right in the middle in Illinois, all by itself, is a chocolate chip cookie. Apparently, Illinois is known for liking chocolate chip cookies, and it's the only state that actually came out on top.
Wait, really?
Yeah. And it actually makes sense, because people who I have seen, my friends, are online all posting photos of baking chocolate chip cookies, and they're all in Chicago. So must be true. You read it online. Has to be true.
Been in Illinois most of my life. I agree. Chocolate chip cookie number one. And I can't even think of giving another one number one. I'm just shocked that other people don't agree.
Yeah, totally with you.
All right. Let's talk about Twitter Spaces. This is interesting. Yep. An audio clubhouse of sorts.
Yeah. It's a new beta version that Twitter is testing, so not everybody has it yet, but basically it's like a virtual room, and Twitter says that they think that the human voice can bring an extra layer of connectivity to Twitter through emotion. They say nuance, empathy is often lost in text. You know, it went from 140 characters to 280, so they're thinking that may not be enough, so voice gives people another way to join in the conversation. It's an interesting world we live in right now.
So is it going to be available to anyone? Is it part of the normal Twitter platform, or are you going to have to kind of go to a different place to use it?
It's hard to say right now. It's a test right now, so you may not see it for a while. You may not see it at all. If they decide to release it as a wide release, then everybody will see it. But the question of whether or not it ends up in the app or separately is a totally different thing. They like to put things inside the app to make it just a button that you press. But we'll have to see if it takes off in popularity. I'm somebody who just likes to type and just really would prefer not using my voice.
Yeah.
So, you know, it depends on the user, and that's what they're trying to find out right now.
You've got a beautiful voice, though, Scott. You shouldn't sell yourself short. But, you know, it's interesting because the texting on my iPhone, I can record a quick note instead of typing it out. And my niece on her iPad has started texting as a 7-year-old. It's really hilarious.
Wow.
But every now and then she records her voice, and I love it. And I actually like sending a little voice memo. But then every time I do that, I'm like, boy, are we reverting? Why don't I just call on the phone? But sometimes it does add a little connectivity there.
Yeah, it totally does. And I mean, you know, you can say all you want about, you know, there's a lot of negativity on social media. So maybe using audio makes it so, you know, we're nicer on the phone. We're nicer when we talk to people. Maybe that means Twitter will become a nicer place. They haven't said that that's what they're looking at, but that's certainly a possibility.
Twitter might be a calmer place after January 20th. What exactly is going to happen not only to the president's personal account? I guess it depends on what he tweets after he leaves office, but also with the account that the White House owns.
Well, the account that the White House owns, normally, you know, there would be a simple transfer and it would go to, you know, it would go over to Joe Biden. But now they're not letting the followers go over or some crazy thing.
Yeah, they're
like
going to clear them away, right?
Yeah, which, you know what, to me, that's not a bad thing, John, because, you know, I think there's two different kinds of followers when we're talking about Trump and Biden. I think it's probably better for Biden to build his own following, to be honest, rather than just having 50 million people who have, you know, different things to say. But as far as his personal account, Trump's personal account, that is going to be the thing to watch, because he enjoys the protections of being president right now. He would have been banned a long time ago if he wasn't president. So technically, you know, 10, 11 minutes after inauguration, he should be banned if he keeps doing what he's doing. So we'll see what Twitter actually decides to do. That's going to be the thing to watch the week of January 20th for sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, like you said, he's broken some of their rules. He has that protection. Yep. Do they say retroactively, since you've done this for these 4 years and beyond, that we're going to cut it off immediately after Joe Biden takes the oath? Or do they wait for President Trump, soon to be former President Trump, to tweet something out? That'll be interesting.
It is interesting. They definitely wait. They definitely don't consider it retroactive. And one of the things that they always say is that history matters. So if it's a part of the historical record, they may find a reason to say that rule doesn't apply. So is something that he says after he becomes a regular citizen again part of, you know, that historical record? Some people may say yes. Some people may say no. That's where it's going to be interesting. And now with all this talk about, you know, repealing Section 230 and all this free speech, if that makes a difference in whether or not Twitter decides to say, you know, this is enough, you know, we'll have to watch that. But it's really going to be an interesting thing to watch.
Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist, never a cheater. Thanks for joining us.